Blog Talk Radio.
Normally, there's a reaction that follows. And Lord, right now, we come with an attitude of gratitude, thanking you for your actions, praising you for your ways, because you are God. We find ourselves constantly thanking you, because you're constantly blessing. And because we have an attitude of gratitude, we can't help but to react to your actions. That's why we stop once again, Lord, as humble as we know how to, constantly thank you.
Thank you.
God. You ought to lift your hands right now and give him a wave of praise. Just think of his goodness and how he's brought you through. How he's made a way out of no way. Oh, somebody ought to get a word of thanksgiving in your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Later on, I thank God for his way, not my way, but his way. because his way is really and truly the right way. So listen, welcome to Jesus in the Morning. I'm your host, Evangelist Barbara Pittman of Freedom Doors Ministries, and I come to you live each weekday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And today, really and truly, is August the 30th, 2019. Yeah, we're 8 months and 30 days into this new year. And when I tell you that time, look like it just go really, really fast. And I wake up one day, look like it's October, and the next day I wake up, we already in January, it appears. Yeah, time is winding up. And I thank God. I thank God for keeping us and bringing us back each morning, you know, giving us another day of life. And I'm just grateful unto him. Today is Testify Friday, and I have some awesome testimonies to share with you from others, and that these people have gone through, but God. And he wished that none should perish, you know. And he made a way that he can redeem us back to himself if we want it. But we have to want it. And sometimes we want it, but where we are and who we're hanging out with and this kind of thing, it keeps us back. But I just refuse to let others send me to hell, I'm going to say, because I can't do it. There's nothing in hell that I want. They tell me it's hot, it don't smell good, it smells really bad, and I know it does because of what I smelled from demons. Yeah, so I know that it's a place we don't want to be. Yeah, we want to be with him. Joy, peace, love, happiness. Yeah, always learning, always exploring. Yeah, that's where we want to be. The one who loves us. We want to be in the midst of love. We don't want to be where they hate us. Yeah. And that's all right today in Jesus' name. But I thank the Lord that, again, that we're able to pray, seek his face. We're able to study the word, remember the word, hide the word in our heart. We're able to do a lot of things if we choose to. And the scripture says, put on the whole armor of God. Because we're going to fight against some stuff. Yeah, wickedness. We're going to fight against wickedness, principalities. Yeah, wickedness in high places, rulers of the darkness. You're not fighting flesh and blood. You're not fighting the person you think you're angry with, you're mad with. You're not fighting against them. Yeah. Because they really don't have their own mind. That's why they come and talk to you crazy and act crazy with you when you've been nothing but kind to them. Yeah. They don't know what you know. They don't have what you have. So we put on the whole armor of God that we can stand against the wiles of the devil while, you know, people going through whatever it is they're going through. Some of them may be directing it at us, but I found out many times it's them. It's not me. They're angry with whatever. And then, you know, sometimes people see other people in a position of clarity. They see them in a position of happy, and you know, I wish I was like that. So because they don't have that, they will take it out on the other person because they have it. Yeah. And angry, oh my goodness. And when I tell you, I've seen these demons lately, I mean, so angry, it's just, oh, I'm like, my goodness. And I see why a lot of people decided to kill themselves. They are so angry and they can't get over it. Oh, they can't move past it. And so they just rather die than to stay angry like that. And whatever they're going through is constantly on their mind. And, you know, they just can't be set free. And I understand. But I tell you, Jesus is the way. If you want to be set free, we got to go through the Son of God, and his name is Jesus Christ. And the Word of God said this concerning it. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. Because when we are in bondage to sin, we can't break free. We need a risen Savior. We need all power to come and help us. And Jesus rose with all power, but if we don't believe this, we're going to continue to suffer. We're going to continue those who are so angry and, you know, you're upset with other people because they have what you want. And you want it, but you don't have it. And all kind of stuff. But I tell you, if you could really come to him, he will in no wise cast you out. He will make you over again, brand new. Yeah. And all these things that you've been through and suffering from and all of this, and some people are mixed up in the groups that they really don't want to be in, you know. They thought it was something else, and they thought they was going to get in here and make a name for themselves, and they was going to do this and do that. No. As they got on in there, they got to see this is evil. And this evil is consuming me. And it's consuming me in a way where it's destroying me. And I don't want to be destroyed. So I need help to be delivered from this. Yeah, God is a deliverer. He's all we need and more, but we got to go to him to get it. And we must believe. That's a big key. I can't stress faith enough to anybody. We must believe that he is. Yeah. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And not just a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise. Yeah. He made the whole world. Hallelujah. And it took something to do that. Yeah, that's really smart. So listen, we're going to pray. And after prayer, I'm going to one more song. And after the song, we're going right in with our different testimonies of today. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning. Thank you for another Friday morning, another weekend, and Lord. We thank you for life, health, and strength. Thank you for the use and activities of our limbs. Father, it's a great day to be alive because you made this day, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you this morning. We come, Father, bringing every call and every listener before you and those coming through the podcast and the archives. Father, we ask today that you would bless every call and every listener, no matter what time of day or night they hear. Father, I ask that you would bless them, bless their households, bless their families. Lord, bless them on the job and whatever they set their hands to do, whatever they're going through. Lord, somebody's going through something, and if they would only open their mouth and say something, that's help for them. But pride won't let them because they don't want people to know what they're going through. But, Father, help right now. Release and help today in the name of Jesus. Oh, send help, Lord. Send help in the name of Jesus. We thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And, Lord, whoever this is, Lord, send help. But show them, Lord, all they had to do was open their mouth and the stress would have left. All the worrying and the turmoil would have left because nobody cared about what you're going through. They just care that they can help you to get through it. Help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. All moved by your spirit. Father, we ask this morning that God, you would move for each of our prayer requests for others. You know what we're praying for. Father, you know who we're praying for. Move in a mighty way in the name of Jesus. And Father, teach us all that when somebody come and share something with us, Lord, don't let us be full of questions, asking all of these questions. Lord, help us to just begin to pray for these people and not be nosy or be in their business. I want to know why. Lord, help us today that whatever we hear, there's a prayer request. Let's just start praying and stop asking all these questions. In the precious name of Jesus, help us today, God. We need you right now. And we need you in a big way. Father, I ask that you would bless the senior home that I went to yesterday. Lord, on 16th Street, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would bless those praying women in the prayer group in the mornings. And this morning as they pray, God, I ask that you would move and answer their prayers. And, Lord, to lay that mat that was so friendly and bubbly, God, I ask that you would open a door for this woman and strengthen her and bless her, God. Continue to give her health and strength in the name of Jesus. For, Father, she'll talk of your wondrous works and make known your deeds among the people. Do it today in the precious name of Jesus. And, Father, we ask this morning that you would have your way here, oh, Jesus, in the morning. Lord, we ask that you lead and guide here and have your way. Move by your spirit in the way that you need to do it, oh, God, because you know what's best for us. We don't know. Only you know what's best for us. Have your way here. We give it to you today in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you glory, honor, and all the praise. We ask it all again in Jesus' name. Amen. And hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. The heavens and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Ah, yeah. It's all right today. So listen, I'm going to this one more song. And when we come back, we're going to come back talking about, listening to the testimonies, awesome testimony of others. Yeah.
Walking home from school on a cold winter's day, took a shortcut through the woods and I lost my way. It was getting late and I was scared and all alone, but then a kind old man took my hand and led me home. Mama couldn't see, but he was standing there. I knew in my heart he was the answer to my prayer. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hour, show us how to live, teach us how to give, guide us with the light of love. When life held troubled times and had me down on my knees, there's always been come along and comfort me. A kind word from a stranger, lend a helping hand, a phone call from a friend, just to say I understand. But ain't it kind of funny, the dark end of the road is
My name is Fatima. I come from an Islamic background. My household was very religious and strict. One day, my friend invited me to a church. I heard the Muslim call for prayers outside and became weary of being in a Christian place. I was standing there feeling very confused. And I asked myself, am I wrong to be here? Later that day, I prayed the way we Muslims pray, but I didn't feel relieved. At that time, I was very depressed, and I was at the verge of a nervous breakdown. I started to cry, and I told God, if you really exist, whether you are the one that is in the Bible or the one that is in the Quran, show me the way. God heard that prayer and He responded. I fell asleep and I dreamt that I was at a church I'd never seen before. I asked around until I found it, and it was exactly like I saw it in my dream. So I just walked in and sat down. I didn't know how to pray, so I opened the Old Testament and started to read. And then I felt a slight change in my life, but it wasn't the change I needed. My family found a photo of the church I had visited from my dream. They would say things like, "You're not allowed to leave the house." They would also say, "It is allowed for us to kill a deserter." It continued till the day I left, and the Lord opened the door for me. Someone that I knew told me of someone's house that I could stay at. One day, I was watching the TV and I saw leading the way. A number came up on the channel, and so I called. Brother Noor picked up my phone call. I told him about my situation, and he told me to meet him. We met at the church. He handed me a book called Finding the Joy You Always Wanted by Dr. Michael Youssef. This book was a shifting point for me. I didn't know what it meant to give my life to Christ. Brother Noor prayed with me, and then he asked me, "Are you going to give your life to Jesus Christ?" And I said yes. I really felt the presence of the Lord inside of me. I started going to the church that he introduced me to and were able to find someone to follow up with me. Every time I felt sad or I had a problem, I would receive a message from leading the way saying, "No, don't treat evil with evil, treat evil with good." I thank the ministry for helping me. They will be the reason a lot of people come to Christ. I used to be very scared of them, but now I wish for it. I already booked a trip with the Lord, because now I know I have already gained eternal life.
Amen. Amen. She found her way. Yeah, because I can imagine coming from a strict family, a Muslim family, and now you saying you're going to church, you're going to become a Christian, you're going to investigate their religion. Oh, boy. You on your way out the door for real. Yeah, so we thank God that he can even, work things through that, for those that are afraid and all of that, because we have some people that's literally scared to leave, yeah, because if they leave out, like she said, they had the right to kill them, Ooh-wee. I mean, they going to force it. That's why I thank God for Jesus, because he don't force anything on you. If you accept it, okay, let's go. If you don't accept it, okay, let's go. Yeah, but your actions will take care of you. That's the only part you need to know. Whatever you decide will take care of you, because you've turned your back on God. But if you accept him, he will take care of you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And it's all right today, in Jesus' name. Okay, we're going to one more this morning. And this one is called Pastor Wife Discovers He is Gay. And her name is Ginger Hahn. That's the wife name, Ginger Hahn. So we're going to take a listen to this one.
And it just hit me. Now I know the answer. I've known something was wrong. This is it. A man is sending my husband a romantic card. What's going to happen? My husband was a minister.
Welcome to Pure Passion. I'm Jonathan Daugherty. In the book of Hebrews, it is written, "He himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you," so that we confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid." Our guest today was married for 14 years, when one day she discovered a note from her husband's lover. To make matters worse, her husband was a minister, and the note? It was from a man. Join us as Ginger Hahn tells us about the twists and turns of her husband's struggle, the effects on her family, and what God taught her through it all.
I had this sense that something is not right. And it wasn't that awareness at that moment. I sensed it for some time, but it kind of culminated right around November, around our 14th anniversary. And I remember getting on the carpet of the living room where we lived, and I just cried out to God. I said, "Something is wrong. I don't know what it is, but I give my life to you and ask for you to just take charge," because I knew that I needed to make some changes, but I didn't know what I needed to do either. I just knew that things were not right. I could tell he was closing up on something, and when I would ask him what's wrong, he wouldn't answer. He would say, "I need to leave and go do such and such," and yet I didn't know where he was going. About 2 months later, I was at a prayer conference, went to several sessions, and at the very last session, the teacher said, okay, we've learned a lot about prayer, now I want you to put this into practice. And I remember kneeling and praying, and right away my thoughts went to my husband. And then God brought them back to, remember a couple months ago when you came to the end of yourself and you're asking me to do something. And these were the words he said. He said, I'm taking care of Dawn. You just get yourself together. And I thought, I didn't think that. That must be God. For the first time in 14 years, he's speaking to me about my marriage, my husband. He said his name. And I'm just to get myself together. And it's like this heavy weight was on my shoulders. It just lifted off. And I felt this smile come across my face that I didn't have to worry anymore. And it was a few months after that, before actually right in the middle of that time, I was reading in the Bible my early morning devotions in the Old Testament. And as soon as I finished a passage, the thought came to me, read 1 Corinthians 13. And I knew that was the love chapter. So I turned to the love chapter, I read it, and I got to verse 7, and I had to read it two or three times. Then I finished the chapter, and then I went back to verse 7. I was reading in the Living Bible at that time, and verse 7 said, it personalized it. It said, if you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground in defending him. And it was just like, okay, God, I know this is a message from you, and you want me to love my husband that way. I don't know if I can, but you'll have to help me if that's what you want me to do. It was like God was preparing me, because it was just a month or so later, on a Saturday morning, I was cleaning house all by myself. My two sons were gone. My husband was out of the house. And his calendar book was sitting on the table, and I did something I'd never done before. I opened it. I wasn't a snoop. I didn't ordinarily do these kinds of things, but I opened it up, and there was an envelope with his name, and it looked like it was a card in the envelope, so I opened it up. The front part of it was very romantic. I thought some woman had sent him a card, and then opened the card, and there was a man's name on there, and it just hit me. Now I know the answer. I've known something was wrong. This is it. A man is sending my husband a romantic card. What's going to happen? My husband was a minister. He was going to lose his position. What would happen to the kids and me? Everything's going to fall apart. I knew my future was just totally over the way I knew it at that point. And it was devastating. I crumbled to the floor. Of course, I cried. And I just said, God, what do I do now? I did confront my husband, told him what I had found. And we ended up the evening by him confessing, telling what he'd gone through as a child, as a teenager, how he cried out to God to take away these feelings. And he said they would disappear for a while, but they would always come back. And he thought that getting married would cure him. Found out that didn't happen, and he couldn't talk to me about it. He was afraid. And he said, Ginger, I've always wanted you to be my best friend. And we fell asleep in each other's arms thinking, okay, now we can begin anew. Sadly, that wasn't it wasn't the end of the fairy tale.
Restored Hope Network is a coalition of ministries serving those who desire to overcome sinful, relational, and sexual issues in their lives, and those impacted by such behavior, particularly homosexuality. RHN connects those seeking help with local member ministries and other resources. Even as the culture embraces distorted expressions of gender, sexuality, and relationships, RHN affirms God's unchanging hope and truth that Jesus Christ transforms the lives of all who seek Him. Visit RestoredHopeNetwork.org.
What do you do when homosexuality comes knocking on your door? Author Joe Dallas has written an excellent book that answers that very important question. It's called When Homosexuality Hits Home: What to Do When a Loved One Says They're Gay. In this book, Joe gives practical step-by-step advice on how to deal with the many conflicts and emotions experienced by parents, grandparents, siblings, and extended family members when they learn of a loved one's homosexual struggle. When Homosexuality Hits Home is available at purepassion.us.
went pretty well in terms of our communication and love and all of that for a week or two. And then I noticed some distancing again. And that continued. And it's like there was a giant magnet out there just pulling him from us. And he would find reasons to go back to the church to work, you know, things that would take him away from the home again. And he did ask me, "Ginger, will you please not disclose this to anyone? I'm going to get some help." Because that night I did say to him, "You have to make a choice." And he said, I really don't want to go out there. I want you, I want my children, I want my ministry. I don't want anything to change, so I will get help. And when I would question him about what kind of help or who he's seen, he was always hesitant about it. He wouldn't lie and say who he was seeing or anything, but he hadn't yet, that kind of thing. And I remember one day when I was getting discouraged, of course, because I thought that I'd see more change more quickly and we'd have better communication. And I'd had my morning devotions and I walked into the bathroom, flipped on the light, and I looked in the mirror and these words came to me. "I have healed Dawn. The progress will be slow." And I thought, what does that mean? I didn't know really much about homosexuality. And when God said the progress will be slow, how slow? So I thought, I'll give him a couple years. To me, that was a long time. And it was sometime later when I saw things unravel even more. That one morning I was making the bed. It was on a Saturday morning. I remember lifting the sheet up in the air, and it was a momentary question. "Will you stay with Dawn?" And I thought, why would God ask a wife to stay with her husband if it was going to be good? That means it must be getting worse. And I said, "God, I love him, but you'll have to help me. I can't do this myself." And it was just so momentary. I remember the sheet kind of lowering onto the bed, and I could just feel the hot tears coming down as I said that. And I knew that God was going to do something. And so I had to hold on to what he had told me before. I have healed Dawn. I had to, in my mind, I had to see him healed in some way. And of course, it was some years down the road that I realized he meant a spiritual, emotional healing. We did go into a counselor at one point together. And after a couple of sessions, he was very uncomfortable because he kept thinking, okay, this is all about me, and Ginger's going to just get everything out, and I'm the one that has to make all the changes. And it was we didn't have a good communication to begin with, and we thought this would help, and we needed to stay with the program and did not. But he said he would continue to get help. This went on for about 5 years of trying, and finally he gave up. He said, "I can't do this anymore." He left the ministry. He left our family. And so that was 5 years. 2 years later, I came home from work one day, and there he was sitting on my couch. We'd been separated for 2 years. We had contact maybe once every 3 or 4 months on the phone. And during that time, all I did was pray for him. When I talked with him, it was in a loving manner. I did what I could to show him love. And the day I came home and he was sitting on my couch and he says, "This morning I got up and I was ready to bolt. I was going to go to another state. I would never see you or the boys again." But he said, a voice came to me and said, "Go home." And it just kept repeating, "Go home, go home." So he said, "Ginger, I'm home. I don't know if you want me here." And I said, "I do." And then we started again. And of course, a lot of things happened in those 7 years, mainly in here. God was preparing me to have him come back because he showed me that his sins of the flesh were equal to my sins of the heart, and I had no clue what God meant when he let me know some years before that I had that my sins were as ugly in his sight as Don's sins. And I didn't understand that. And he was showing me my attitude, my self-righteousness, my pride, my resentment, my self-pity, all of those things that nobody saw, but they were part of who I was. And I had to work on those issues, those areas of my own life, so that when he came home, then we were able to put things back together more easily from my standpoint. I wasn't judging him all the time like I had before. My two sons were ages 7 and 12 when this all first started. And so 7 years later, they were 7 years older, and they saw what was happening. And not that we sat down to a family time and all talked openly about it, but there were things that were dropped and said here and there, but they had their own reactions. My older son, in fact, went into a gay lifestyle. He was high school and then college, and he would work downtown at night cleaning banks and things, and then he would be gone all night. He was going to a community college. And my younger son got in trouble with the law and just not openly rebelled, but just it affected him because he was very close to his dad. And so they both felt the rejection and reacted accordingly. My older son, he showed signs when he was a preschooler, some effeminacy kinds of things, sensitivity, and I didn't pick up on it that much other than the fact that I noticed in preschool he would rather be in playing in the house rather than going outside and playing trucks with the other boys. And I talked to his pediatrician about it, and he says, I don't see a problem with that. He said, now if he's 10 or 12 years old and he's still wanting to play with dolls, then we have an issue. I talked to a parent who was a school teacher, and she had two sons that were older. She said, oh, my boys went through that too, Ginger. So it's like they dismissed that there's any problem. But I think my husband unconsciously saw the problem because maybe he was the same way when he was that age. And as a result, he rejected his son. He didn't know how to show him genuine affection, attention. Just there was a coolness between him and his son. And it was slow but steady progress as far as getting some help, as far as getting back into church, our communication. We were trying to do that better. He was expecting our sons, who had wandered away from their faith, would come back right away because, after all, Dad's home now. And it didn't happen. We actually waited another 7 years for them. The oldest one at that point was working in San Francisco. And he worked in a small shop. And it turns out that his boss was this little radical spitfire lady who said, I'd like you to come over to my house. And she had a house church. And he came back to the Lord, living in San Francisco. I remember he called on a Monday and he said, Mom and Dad, I need to let you know that I came back to God last night. And so that was exciting for us. And then he said, can I move back home? And we lived in Sacramento, so that wasn't too far. But he says, I want to go back to college, get my degree. And we said, sure. Our younger son had gone into drugs and alcohol, and we took him to Teen Challenge to see if he would qualify for their program. And he qualified, but they said, you know what, you have to wait 6 weeks. We want to make sure this is your decision to come here to get help. And from week to week, we weren't sure. Sometimes he would go in the bathroom, he'd lock the door, he'd be in there for 2 or 3 hours, and I'd have to keep knocking, Jason, are you there? It was scary because we didn't know if he would overdose. You know, you'd go through those pangs in your emotions of what's going to happen to your child. And finally, he was accepted into Teen Challenge. 6 weeks later, he did call them every week, even though we weren't sure if he was. And he went into Teen Challenge, and within the first few weeks, we learned that his best friend had taken his own life back at home here. And having to let him know, we couldn't talk to him right away because they had real restrictions on them. But we eventually let him know, and that was devastating to him. But he realized he was in a safe place, and it was tough because it was kind of a lockdown for him. But he said, I don't have anywhere else to go. I have to stay here. And he went through the program for almost a year. He came out a changed boy, a changed man. At that point, I believe he was 21. He was turning 21. His dad, a week later, turned 50. So we had a double birthday party, invited about 75 or 80 people, and it was just kind of a wonderful reunion for all of our family.
Would you like to find some clarity on the issue of homosexuality, what really causes it, and how God brings people out of it? Such Were Some of You is an award-winning documentary that delivers such clarity. It's an invaluable resource for every believer, church, or ministry that features 29 former homosexuals who bear witness to the power of God to transform anyone from anything.
I had to say, Lady Gaga, shut up. I was not born this way.
They know that I was stuck in the same flesh, you know, struggle that they were stuck in. But I am free.
We've also produced a second documentary that shows family members how to respond to their homosexual loved one. It's called How Do You Like Me Now? When a child, parent, spouse, or sibling says they're gay.
I sat my parents down for the first time. I still had no clue what was going on. And I said, I'm gay, I'm HIV positive, and how do you like me now?
Get both teaching resources on DVD at our online store by visiting purepassion.us. That's purepassion.us.
He was living the proper life, but he still struggled with temptations. And I know there were times when he fell, and then he would come back, and we'd put things back together. And he did go to Frank Worthen's program. And not every week. I wish he would have been more steady with that. But he did go, and we also started a local program that he went to. And so he got proper help. He did something very uncharacteristic because he always had said, I'm a very private person. But at one point he said, Ginger, God has been talking to me about going public with my testimony. And he said, I want you and I to go talk with our pastor. So we went and talked to our pastor. Our pastor didn't have any clue what had gone on in Don's life because we had moved interim and were in a new situation, new state, new place. And so he talked with the pastor, and the pastor said, you know, I know that your sons have gone through a lot. They've come back to the Lord. And Ginger, I know you've gone through some stuff too. Why don't all four of you share your collective testimony on Thanksgiving? We had a Thanksgiving service. And so that's what we did. And starting with our boys, and then Don and myself, and the people were just, they gave a standing ovation. They were so warm and loving and accepting. We all took communion together, and we started a ministry, Hope Ministry, there at the church. It became a Sunday school class, actually, with both family members and a couple of people that actually were strugglers. And so it was a real turnaround. I'm on the board of Waiting Room Ministry in Phoenix, Arizona. And we have new parents all the time. This last month, we had parents come in who have a transgender daughter. And that is becoming more and more prevalent. And, of course, with Bruce Jenner and other famous people coming out with their transgenderism, it will probably grow. At least the public will see more of that. That's new for the rest of us, although we see some of the same types of components in terms of what the child is going through, and then into adulthood, some of the same things as those who struggle with same-sex attraction, as well as transgender. They both have some of the same root problems. One mother that I have personally been counseling for about a year is quite ready to let go. By not letting go, that means she checks into her son's Facebook. See, he was underage, so she feels like, okay, I can do what I can do, but it's almost meddling. It's almost too much, hovering over and trying to let him know that she's aware of everything he's doing, and that's not being helpful to him because that might make him rebel even more. Letting go, and I realize that's an age thing. Once they're 18, they can make decisions on their own, and that's when you need to start making that. Okay, I have to let go of the apron strings. God, the Holy Spirit, is the one that has to deal with them. It was when my husband came home, it wasn't because I was doing or saying anything to him. It was the Holy Spirit that told him to come back home. So I know that that's an important element, that parents have to come to that decision, that it's not something they can do. In fact, if anything, they should be praying that someone else will reach their child. What do I do? What they mean is, what do I do to make my child turn around and go the right direction? or a wife. What do I do to get my husband? That's what we mean when we say, what do I do? And from my own experience, from what God taught me, is that, first of all, I have to look inside. And I have to see if there are things that I need to change about me. Because if I'm still the same person and that person turns their life around, am I going to still be that same judgmental person toward them? They need to see love emanating, true love emanating from me. And in some cases, like my husband had gotten so far, it's like he lost faith in God, lost faith in prayer. And so I became, in a sense, I became the person who represented who God was, who Jesus was to him for a while. And so the Lord just had to live his life through me and let my husband see that. And I think it's important for us to not be pointing the finger at the other person, whether it's our child or our spouse, but asking God sincerely, what do I need to do? What do you want me to do in this situation? And he will begin showing you. And he'll show you how to show the love to that loved one. He'll show you those areas of your life where you need to make changes. That's the one thing I've heard parents who are down the road. They say, oh, I never want to see this happen to somebody else, but I wouldn't trade what has happened in here for me since this did happen to me. I'm not the same person I was. And that's vital, that they're not the same person they were when they started this journey. And for some, you know, parents want quick fixes. If they come to our support group and they hear a parent that their child's been in the lifestyle for many years, it's discouraging to the new ones. They don't want to see, they don't want to wait, you know, 6, 10, 8 years. You have to be realistic. God could turn around your child tomorrow. Something could happen a couple of years from now that they'll see the light and they'll turn around and come back home. But it may be years down the road too. You don't know. And that's where you have to put your trust in God. It's like the prodigal son's father. He didn't know when his son was coming home, but he expected him. He went down that road every day looking for his son. And if we have that sense of expectancy, God, someday you're going to bring my child back home. Home to you, home to us, to faith in you, then that's what has to sustain you in the meantime. I like 2 Corinthians 1 because it says you're going through something and the Holy Spirit is there to minister to you, to comfort you, and the Holy Spirit teaches you things. Why? So that you can in turn comfort others. And so when people say, why in the world did you go into this kind of ministry? It's because the Holy Spirit did something in here that I can't keep to myself. I have to share it with others. Whether it's one person, a small group, a huge auditorium, any amount of people, I want to know, I want them to know that God answers prayer, that things that might seem impossible to others, it isn't impossible with God. I remember when my husband and I were separated, and I had two or three well-meaning friends say, Ginger, you know, I think it's time for you to get on with your life. You should file for divorce or legal separation, move somewhere else, move back with your family, take your kids away from here. And I said, but that's not what God told me. He told me years ago, I have healed Dawn, and I have to hold on to that. And it's after we got back together that we ran into one of those people. And he said, Ginger, I remember the advice I gave you. And you were right. God was faithful to heal your husband.
I hope you were encouraged by Ginger's testimony. What a great example of Christ's love. Isn't it amazing how faithful our Lord Jesus is? When you're obedient to the calling that God has placed on your life, He will bless you and see you through the dark valleys of your journey. He will use you mightily, just as He has saints of the past. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Study God's Word. Let Him lead you as He did Ginger. And thank you for watching Pure Passion. I'm Jonathan Darty.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank God for Ginger, and I thank God for His loving power and His loving ways, you know, because, you know, the flesh would tell me, listen, He knew He was this way when He met you. Why would He pull you into this? You see, no, you don't want to stay. You want to get away. And you want to take your boy somewhere quickly where they can get some help. Yeah, I thank God He worked it out for Ginger, but the devil sent you to trick me because he saw my weakness during that time. And hurting people hurt people. He had been hurt, so he come to hurt her. Yeah. But I thank God He's able. He's able. All right, we're going to our next one. And so says this lady, she had been living as a man for 30 years. And in all that 30 years, she said she was looking for love. So listen, let's take a listen to this one. And then our next one is... Where is she? A child of lesbian parents opposes gay marriage. That would be after this one. So let's take a listen to her.
Everyone knew Wanda Jo Taylor preferred jeans over dresses. They just didn't know why.
Boys was rough and tough like myself, and the girls was dainty and pretty. And, you know, and I was attracted to them, and I knew that as a young age.
Her mother, Opal, thought her youngest child was going through a phase.
I knew she was a tomboy, but that's everybody said, just leave alone. She'll grow out of it.
But Wanda couldn't change what she was feeling.
Back then, you know, I was like, I feel like a boy trapped in a girl's body, and I didn't understand me.
Wanda Jo embraced her identity as a boy and started having sexual contact with other girls. She managed to keep it a secret until at 18, she got caught with a neighbor girl.
I came out to tell the whole world I was gay and I was proud. And I lived my life the way I wanted to live my life. I couldn't live my life with my mother, nobody. I did what I would wanted to. I did my will, what I wanted to do.
It hurt. I cried every day.
After high school, Wanda Jo landed a good-paying job as a computer programmer and dove into the homosexual lifestyle.
I went to clubs, gay parties, gay parades. I did it all. I walked into a topless club, looking like a man, dressing like a man, smelling like a man.
I prayed all the time, hoping that she would change. But she went through so many women.
For the next 30 years, Wanda Jo pursued many women and had a few serious relationships. But they were chaotic, at times violent.
You're fighting and no trust, the jealousy, the envy, the drama that's in that lifestyle that I was in.
None of them gave Wanda Jo what she really wanted.
I was searching for love in all the wrong places. That's what I was searching for.
The one thing Wanda Jo never indulged in was drugs and alcohol. But when she nearly died, after one of her lovers stabbed her, she found crack cocaine eased the physical and emotional pain.
I was just tired. I was so tired, I didn't know what to do, you know.
For 2.5 years, she lived at the mercy of a crack cocaine addiction and dropped down to a mere 98 pounds. Finally, Wanda Jo remembered something she learned in church as a child. That in times of despair, she could always call on God.
Next thing you know, I was so broken. My God, I was broken. I was tired so much of just everything. I went home and got on my knees and I cried out to God. And I said, God, take this away from me. Jesus, help me. And when he did, he did a snap of a finger, blink of an eye.
Wanda Jo says her desire for cocaine was completely gone. And that deliverance by God fueled a hunger to return to church. She found one that accepted her just as she was.
Never forget a day I was in the church. I had been going there maybe in my men's suits. They loved me. See, they let me come in the church broken, lost, as the sinner that I was. I was like, wow, they was treating me with so much love. And now he's talking the truth, the word. And now I'm getting this word in my heart.
Wanda Jo continued going to church and reading the Bible. For the first time, after 30 years living as a man, she discovered her true identity.
I opened up my Bible to the scripture that he gave me. And the scripture was Isaiah 43:18-19. And it says, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. God said, behold, I do a new thing, and a new thing shall spring forward. Shall ye not know it? I make a road in the wilderness and a river in the desert. But I read it the third time. And when I read it the third time, he said, remember not the former things, all the gay stuff and all that. He was right then at the time. Neither consider the things of old, drugs and crack and all that, and whoremongering, fornicating, committing adultery, lying, cheating.
Right at that moment, her mother called. Wanda Jo told her everything God had showed her in the scriptures.
Who are you then? My mama heard for 30 years I was gay, I was butch, and I was a stud. She said, Wanda Jo, 12 o'clock midnight. Who are you then, Wanda Jo? I said, the old Wanda Jo is gone. I'm the new Wanda Jo. It scared myself. I said, woo!
Wanda Jo gave her life to Jesus Christ that night in 2007.
And when people see me now, they be like, they know they're looking at a miracle. I said, I'm just like Jesus, his first miracle, turning water into wine. The old Wanda Jo was the water, the new Wanda Jo is the wine. And I said, I'm a miracle, hallelujah. I said, I'm a miracle to myself. He took that desire away. I don't desire women no more. He took that desire away.
Today she works in full-time ministry, sharing God's truth and love to people she meets in Dallas, Texas.
I have a true and a personal relationship with God, and now, so that's why I was searching for love in all the wrong places all the time. It was Jesus who I was searching for.
30 years, she said, she lived as a man. 30 years, because she was looking for love. But that mama kept praying. Her mother kept praying for her. Her mother wouldn't give up on her, kept praying for her. Next thing you know, she made some changes. Oh, yeah. It's all right today, in Jesus' name. I have one more for you, and that is the child of lesbian parents opposes gay marriage. I listened to some of it last night, and I listened to what she said, and she said the gay adults say that children, as long as they have two parents, they don't care about parents. I know that's a lie because of this. I raised my kids basically alone. But when they got to a certain age, coming up to teenage years, coming up to the age of 12, they begin to ask questions about their dad. Yeah, where is he? What's going on? Why wasn't he here? This and that. So you know, I made arrangements to take them to meet their dad, and they could ask him all the questions that they wanted to, but he would get angry when they would ask him, you know, why, this and that, you know. But anyway, I know that children want both parents. Yeah. And children, you know, want to know both parents. And even if one parent in the home and the other parent are not in the home, they still want to know that parent that's outside of the home. So although I felt like, you know, that dad, he wasn't up to par, and he wasn't coming up to par, and he wasn't going to help them and this and that, I never spoke negative about him to them because it's their dad, not mine. See, me and my dad had a wonderful relationship. And had my mom and my dad separated, I still would have, you know, respect my dad. But they had to, you know, get with him and build and find out for themselves. And you know, they found out I told the truth, but they're still their dad. So, you know, they don't want him dead. You know, they don't want to see him rot away, you know. But whatever it is, it is. So I know children care about both parents. They want the man and the woman. I don't want no substitute. I want who's the reason for me being here. Another woman is not the reason. There was a man somewhere in the picture. If it was false insemination or whatever they call it, it was still a man somewhere. Yeah, because you're not going to have a baby without a man. God designed the man and the woman to be fruitful and multiply. Yeah, and anything other than that, I don't understand, but, you know, we just have to pray and keep it moving because people in this hour need prayer. Ooh, we. Yeah, and it's okay. But let's take a listen.
Well, our next guest, Katie Faust, serves on the Academic and Testimonial Council of the International Children's Rights Institute. As you heard in Tom Eagleton's story, she's a fierce opponent of same-sex marriage, despite being raised by same-sex parents and describing her mother as a loving gay parent. She's in Canberra to lobby against same-sex marriage. Katie Faust joins us now from Parliament House. Thanks for being there.
Thanks so much for having me.
Have you actually managed to speak to any Australian politicians yet?
We did. My partner in crime, Millie Fontana, who is a resident of Melbourne and also raised by two mothers, and I had a chance to speak with a couple members of Parliament yesterday.
Not the Prime Minister so far?
No. He hasn't called yet.
Now, how is it that the daughter of lesbian mothers has become a leading opponent of gay marriage? How does that work?
Well, simply because I recognize that while my mother was a fantastic mother, and most of what I do well as a mother myself, I do because that's how she parented me, she can't be a father. Her partner, an incredible woman, both of these women have my heart, cannot be a father either. Children have a right to be in relationship with their mother and father whenever possible. And as a society, we shouldn't normalize a family structure that requires children to lose one or both parents to be in that household.
Now, trying to sway the U.S. Supreme Court to rule against gay marriage, you wrote to Justice Anthony Kennedy before that vote, and you said, you used to say, I'm happy my parents got divorced so I could get to know all you wonderful women. Now you seem to be saying that was all a lie.
Well, there's a lot of pressure on children of gay parents to please their parents, to sort of carry the banner forward for them. And you can read about this not just in conservative publications, but even books like Families Like Mine, which was publicized by a pro-gay marriage daughter of gays, and she admitted, and several of the kids in that book admitted, that it's very difficult to be honest about this because of the political pressure surrounding this topic. There's several children that have contacted me even since I started writing about this saying, I agree with you, but I'll never come out and speak about this publicly because my relationship with my parent is too tenuous.
Now, Katie, did you find God somewhere in this journey towards anti-gay marriage?
Well, I was not raised a Christian, but I did become a Christian in high school.
And did that change things? I mean, did you decide that homosexuality was against the scriptures, against God's will, something of that nature?
Well, I it took a long time, honestly, for me to get on board with what biblical sexuality says, because there's a very fierce protectiveness, I think, that all children have for their parents. But what I was delighted to find when I read Scripture is that God has an incredible heart for the orphan, and that He's very concerned with the plight of children. And that lines up very much with where we need to go in this discussion, which is focusing on the rights of children primarily, as opposed to emphasizing the desires of adults, which tend to take center stage when we're talking about this issue.
Now, after your parents divorced, because you originally had a father and a mother, they divorced. Your father, you say, went off with other women. Why have you focused your main criticism on the homosexual part of the equation and not your father?
Well, I think that I'm pretty fair in my statements to say that whether you're heterosexual or homosexual, children have rights. And adults, the onus needs to be on adults to conform to the rights of children rather than children fitting into an adult's lifestyle. And certainly, I don't think that homosexuals are responsible by any means for the crisis that we face in America when it comes to family structure these days. Absolutely, heterosexuals have led the way on that charge. I got into this discussion primarily because what I heard from the gay lobby was that children don't care who's raising them. Right, that children are just fine if it's two men or two women. And the reality is that anybody that's talked to a child who has lost a parent, whether through divorce, abandonment, third-party reproduction, or death, kids absolutely care. Family structure matters to children. And so I heard the LGBT lobby saying it doesn't care. They don't care, and I don't think that that's reality.
Okay, you also were motivated politically once President Obama announced his support for same-sex marriage, and you set up an anonymous blog called Ask the Bigot. Why did you do that? What did you call it that to start with, and what happened when you did it?
Yes. Well, you know, strangely, the URL wasn't taken for that web name. Not sure why, but it was kind of born in an angry moment. I'm not really a confrontational person, but what happened when Obama evolved is, to me, it felt like media was free to play the bigot card. So now everybody that doesn't support gay marriage is a bigot, right? Because either you're isolated and you don't know any gay people, or you're indoctrinated, or you're homophobic, or you're the equivalent of a racist. And they were not giving any attention to people that had a genuine argument, a well-founded, secular, convincing argument for support of traditional marriage. And so I started blogging anonymously.
I was going to make that point. You started blogging anonymously. What happened? Why did you go public, as it were?
I didn't. I was outed by a gay blogger who felt like I needed to be held accountable for my stance. And the truth is that I would not have filed a brief with the Supreme Court. I wouldn't be having this interview with you today because I never intended to be involved in the legal fight. But because I was outed in the name of love and tolerance, I am talking with you today.
Okay, so just going to that Supreme Court decision in June, Justice Kennedy authored, the same man you wrote to, authored the Supreme Court's decision in favor of same-sex marriage. He began in agreement with you, saying that no union is more profound than marriage. But he said of the gay people who had petitioned the court, it would be to misunderstand these men and women to say they disrespect the idea of marriage. Their plea is that they respect it so much, respect it so deeply, that they seek to find its fulfillment for themselves. And now, obviously, the court agreed that their dignity was the critical thing here. Why do you disagree with that position?
Well, because they have dignity, right? Single parents have dignity. People that have never been married have dignity. You don't gain dignity by a government bestowing that on you. You just have it. The question is not whether or not they have dignity, and the question is not even really whether or not they have the capacity to love and commit the way heterosexuals do. They do. They absolutely do. The question is, what is government's interest in marriage? It's really not about affirming the connections that we have with one another. It has to do with the product of those unions. And there's something distinct about the product of a union between heterosexuals. What's distinct is that they make babies, and those babies have rights, and those babies deserve protection.
Katie Faust, we'll have to leave you there. Thank you very much for coming in to join us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Okay. Listening to her, I feel so bad for her, but and I can hear certain things, and I can still hear some fear to really come out and really be outspoken and really say what she really, really want to say. She's still trying not to hurt some feelings and, you know, everything like that. But I thank God for my parents. I thank God for my parents because it was a man and a woman. They wasn't the same sex, and I had an opportunity to make choices and to know some things for myself. I was born a female who knew that I was a girl, and I knew I was attracted to boys. I knew at an early age, you know, nobody had to coach me. I never had to go to my parents and say, I feel this way and that way, because if I had to go to them to tell them that, then I may be a child, but I'm even knowing something is not right with me. Because here's a child who, born a female, knows she's a female and attracted to males, never went to her parents about this stuff. But then you got children that say they're into the same sex, they got to go. No, I don't think so. I just don't think so. But I believe we just pray. Because I promise you, what God said in his word, it will truly come to pass. I know folk get angry because of what they want and what their flesh tells them, and they try to make God be pleased with what they're doing. But he has said what he meant, and he meant what he said, and he's done. And when I tell you today, children go through so much, it's so pitiful. But they've been battling a long time, but it just become more and more. The more children are birthed, the more the evil come. Those evil doers, wickedness in high places, rulers of the darkness come. Because they come to kill, steal, and destroy children. Because if they could get rid of children, there will be no tomorrow. And people don't understand this. Look, if no more children, every race will die out because we're not reproducing. But the enemy won't allow people to see this. They only allow their flesh to want what they want. And the minute you say something about it, boy, they leech on and go to clowning. I just thank God for being saved. I'm telling you, because I probably would have a life sentence in somebody's prison, and I'll probably be on death row. Yeah, I will probably be on death row. But I thank God for being saved, and I thank God that I'm not angry, and I thank God that I understand. Yeah, because a lot of things I've said, and, you know, I got a lot of ugly feedback about it. I could see this hurting people hurt people. They have been hurt. And had been hurt bad. I'm just honest. And not only that, but the spirits that live within them became angry because they felt like, you're coming against me? It's just a lot to it. So, again, we pray and we keep it going. Those we know, our family members, even we pray. God is the answer. Yeah, he's the answer. And we keep it moving in Jesus' name. Because I promise you again, whatever he has said, that's what it is going to be. I can't help who likes it and who does not like it. What God has said, in the end, it's going to turn out true because his word holds true. Yeah. Whew. And it's all right again today in Jesus' name. All right, if there anyone have something they would like to say today? Studio open. Okay. If not, I pray us out. We'll get out early this morning. Today is Friday. We thank God for the week ending. I want to say good morning to everyone. Good morning to Sister Dorothy Goodman, and good morning to you, Minister Shonda. Good morning to you, Sister Rita. God bless you this morning. And those that are listening in the background, God bless you this morning, and I thank God for you. Boy, let me tell you something now. When you're talking about gay people, people run. It's like they're afraid, they're scared. See, I'm not the one. I don't care about all of that. God has spoken. Let the church say amen. Yeah. I can't call wrong right and right wrong. I know better. I know the difference. I'm not confused. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. And I thank God for strength. Hallelujah. And it's all right today in Jesus' name. Yeah. So listen, if no one has anything they would like to say, I will pray us out. Hey, we got one more day, Minister Shonda and Sister Diana, one more day before what? September is here. Yes. And then we constantly count down. We constantly count down. I'm excited. I talked to Rose Brown yesterday, so she's most likely going to hang with us for a while. So I thank God. I thank God. All right. So listen, I'm going to pray us out, and we pray the Lord bring us back Monday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please forgive me. I am sleepy. I got to get me some. So we pray that he bring us back, and I pray that y'all have a blessed weekend, and God lead and guide you through the weekend, and all is well for you during the weekend. So we thank God. Mm-hmm. And it's all right. It's all right. So we'll pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, as we depart this weekend, Father, bless our going out and bless our coming in. Meet the need in our lives according to you, which is in glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. And Father, the testimony of each of these today, I ask that you would bless and strengthen, oh God. Father, we need strength, for the enemy is making people cower down because people are afraid to get in a confrontation or whatever they think it may become. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And Father, if you send me to say something, I got to say it. I can't hold back because I can't be afraid of people, the enemy, the devil. I can't demons, wickedness in high places, rulers of the darkness. I can't be afraid of that. I got to trust you today with all my heart and lean not to mine own understanding. But in all my ways, I must acknowledge you. You're going to direct my path. Father, help me to not be wise in my own eyes, but seek you, Almighty God, and depart from evil. I'll do it for us all today in the name of Jesus. We thank you this morning. Give us all strength and holy boldness, Father, that we'll stand up and hold up the blood-stained banner. Stand up and say what you would have us to say and not cower down to man. Ooh, help us this morning, oh God. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, Lord, as we depart again, bless us this weekend and use us in your service to be a blessing unto your people. Help us to minister. Help us to share. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. And hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. A blessed weekend. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you this weekend in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye. And y'all lift me up in prayer. Hey, Sister Linda, God bless you. God bless you. Y'all lift me up in prayer. And so we pray again that the Lord bring us back on Monday. So at this time, again, I'm saying bye-bye. Have a blessed weekend.